This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm excited today to be joined by Dr. David Norris. David's a well-renowned surgeon. In addition to being a great physician, he's the author of a book called The Financially Intelligent Physician and gives lots of guidance to practices on how to improve their practice, their operations, their finances, and so forth. Dr. Norris, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Sure, you bet. I've been in private practice now for about 15 years. I did my training and residency in anesthesia at Vanderbilt, and then I did a fellowship there. Then I came back and joined a practice and been there ever since. Quickly learned the squeaky wheel in my group gets the job. Then I began to realize, started getting hit in income statements, balance sheets, and realized I wasn't trained to run a business in medical school. So then I went back and got an MBA. And since then, I've made it my mission and purpose is now to help my fellow physicians attain the types of practices they desire through business education.
How do you go about educating practices about finances? And I know you got an MBA. And how did you teach yourself? Was it a labor of love? Was it a labor of need? How do you go about teaching others? And how did you get there?
Sure. So for myself, it was more of a labor. I needed it because I had 20-some partners and about 35, 40 other families, depending on me making the proper and the best financial decisions in terms of the business and the practice. And it was something I've always kind of been interested in. I toyed around with the idea in residency and decided that was just not the time. And when I go around teaching, I try and put it in plain English for the physicians. You know, I tell them, if you've made it through med school, you can easily master this material. You're either haven't taken the time to sit down and really get your head around it or whatnot, but I've kind of tried to boil it down and made some nice corollaries for you from clinical decision-making to business decision-making, and you guys got this. Let me just show you how you can do it. And so I just try and make it as simple for them as possible.
And how do physicians respond to learning from another physician? I mean, are some physicians resistant to that? Are others okay with it? What's some of your sense of that?
I would say my experiences have been they're far more open-minded to it because I am a brethren of theirs, if you will. I do still practice medicine, still touch patients, and still deal with the headaches that they deal with. So there's a little bit of a common bond there. They know and appreciate that I'm coming from the same place that they are, and I genuinely have their best interest at heart when I'm trying to teach them because I really want them to enjoy medicine. And I think some of the stresses of the financial side of healthcare lead to some of the physician burnout we're seeing. And so it's my small way trying to help them cope with some of those stresses in being a physician in today's day and age.
And how do you split your time between clinical practice and tell people just a bit about your clinical practice and the business side of what you do today and what you've been doing?
Sure. I'm part-time, so I still take call. I usually have a few afternoons or days off throughout the week that I schedule my business office hours. I still show up to the level one traumas. I still do the complex heart surgeries. And then the rest of the time, I spend writing, speaking at conferences. I'll do phone consultations or fly out and see a client. Help them figure out whatever problem they're trying to go through, whether they're trying to figure out a process, how to improve it, make it more efficient, or if they're needing help with a negotiation, I'll come in and help them with that. And I'm available most any time, except for the clinical times in the morning, usually.
Dr. Norris, what are the most interesting things you see when practices retain you and talk to you? What are some of the things that come up? What are common issues, either good, bad, ugly? What are some of the issues that come up?
I would say the first and first one would be primarily understanding the financial health status of their practice. All right, so they don't really have a good idea how healthy their practice is in terms of finances. They don't really understand whether the reports they're looking at. They don't understand what and why is appearing on the line items in the balance sheet or the income statement. And I think a lot of them get confused about understanding what their true costs are and what their true revenues are, because most small practices are going to use a cash-based accounting system. And depending on your AR, your productivity and your costs are going to match up pretty well, but the revenues aren't, because your days in AR are 45 days industry average. I've seen are 90 days when I first start working with them. And so they have a disconnect, and they don't really have a good idea of what their real revenue is, what their real costs are. And it's, I think, primarily the first thing we talk about is the cash versus accrual basis. And I try and help them understand that and see the disconnect. And then we can dive in into more things on the reports.
And what was it like going back mid-career to get your MBA? Was that strange for you? Was that interesting? Was it exciting? What was that like?
It was first a little challenging because I was required to be in school in the classroom every Saturday for 2 years. It was challenging because in med school, I just read books, went to the library a lot of times. I had note service. So I really hadn't been in a lecture hall like that for over a decade. It was a little bit of a challenge, but it was also a lot of fun because I was in with a small, close-knit group of folks who weren't other physicians, but industry in other industries such as technology, government, aviation's big here. So I got to learn a lot, you know, how other industries deal with some of the issues that healthcare is currently facing. And I enjoyed it. It was material that I wanted to learn, and it was a lot of fun. And probably one of the most enjoyable educational experiences I've had outside my fellowship.
Well, it was probably nice at some point to re-get into that kind of environment. It's hard for people to do after they've been gone for some time. So that's my kudos to yourself for enjoying it and embracing it and going after it. Just fantastic. What's a good indicator that a practice is in good financial shape? When you see a practice in good financial shape, what does that kind of look like?
For me, it means that the leadership understands the income statement balance sheet. They have a good cash position, or they have good current assets, and they're managing that AR and those other current assets on that balance sheet well. The ones that don't, they don't really understand that. They may be living on a line of credit, make payroll every once in a while, and they don't really fully comprehend or understand the implications of how to manage their cash or where their cash is coming from. The best ones can produce and use a cash flow statement or a statement of cash flows. Those guys that use that type of sophisticated report understand exactly where the cash is coming to and coming from, and I think they're the ones that are best poised to have a thriving practice because they truly understand where the lifeblood is going to and coming from.
Right, and at the end of the day, practices, businesses run on cash flow, and they got to know where it's coming from, how it's coming, and how receivables convert into cash and just timing
exactly.
And everything. Mm-hmm. Got it. And how do you, what do you sort of, you've had this great career as a physician. You've now got a career as a physician and a business person. Do they complement each other well? Do you find excitement in one versus the other or in both? How do you sort of look at that?
I enjoy both, I feel that my true mission and purpose now is transitioning more out of clinical care and more into helping physicians and other healthcare providers manage the businesses that they're in. And I think I can have a bigger impact upon more patients by helping other providers really get their head around and understand the business side of healthcare. It kind of was taboo, and you're not supposed to talk about that in med school and whatnot. But I think in today's day and age, we got to be able to use every dollar effectively. And if we don't, we wind up leaving people out on the street, I think. So as a physician, if you want to keep the doors open and you want to continue to help people, you got to stay at least break even. The minute you start dipping into the red, you're not going to stay open very long, and then you're not going to help as many people in the way you want to help them.
But it's so funny.
I think I can have
it's
a
like
bigger
old,
effect that way.
It's like the old not-for-profit mantra that there's no margin. There's no mission without margin. You got to have margin if you want to actually be able to provide services and do well. What is your sense of physicians moving away from independence to employment? You know, it depends on where you're at in the country and what practice you're in, but how do you see that? Are there enough independent physicians out there in practices for you to work with still, and how is that evolving?
Well, I think I saw a report not too long ago that said now over 50% of all physicians in the U.S. are now employed by some sort of larger organization. And I think more and more physicians may want to do that, particularly the younger ones. I think the older ones that I've talked to kind of regret the fact that they did sell or they did move into an employment model when they went from private practice independent to that employed model. They do find that more frustrating than they really anticipated. Some of the younger guys, I don't think they necessarily know. but I still think, though, that it doesn't matter if you're employed physician or your independent practice. You still should understand the costs and the revenues and how all that works in your individual's organization. Because we as physicians drive a lot of the healthcare decisions in terms of tests and stuff, therapies. And if you can understand that, I think you can have a big impact even in the organization you're in. And if you can begin to get some of the business acumen that I teach, not only the financial side, but the process improvement, you can still become a very powerful, very, very influential physician leader and affect change in your organization, even as an employee. So I think it's something that should be taught, and it doesn't matter what type of practice setting you're in. Your organization will benefit from you having the knowledge and then exercising and using that knowledge.
That's fantastic. And then final question, Dr. Norris, really final one, and then a closing question. What's your best advice for practices, your single best advice for practice managers, for practices in terms of these areas and so forth?
My would be examine your financial reports on a regular basis every month. Look at the income statement, look at the balance sheet, get a cash flow statement. Know what's on those reports, trend them, track them over time, pick a couple ratios you want to use, whether it's like a current ratio, working capital, days in accounts payable, receivable, whatever, and then track and trend them over time. And if something begins to change, ask questions and dig into why those changes are occurring. And number two, if you're a physician leader, don't be afraid to ask questions. If you don't know what a line item is, ask about it. If you don't know why something appears on a particular report, ask questions. It's far better to feel stupid when you ask a question in a small private room than, you know, having it come out in the paper that somebody embezzled millions of dollars from you because you never looked at those reports.
Let me ask a question, because I think that's great advice. So often physicians get from consultants, not just physicians, any person gets from consultants or their advisors, you know, almost this, you won't understand this. So you won't do this, you won't do that. And the reality is most physicians, most people, most everybody is actually more than intelligent enough to understand it. And if somebody's telling you that you're not going to understand it, you probably have the wrong advisor. Is that a fair assessment, Dr. Norris?
I would agree 100%. And I would go further and say, if you ask a question and they never give you an answer, get a new advisor. Right. Because I always ask for what you can't have or you don't have right now. And if they say, I don't know, or they keep changing the story, then, you know, you have issues and you may be then thinking about they're either incompetent or they're committing fraud. So, yeah.
Fantastic. And so true. So I want to thank you for your time today. Just a pleasure talking to you, Dr. Norris. I'm so excited about what you're doing.
Yep.
How do people reach you if they want to reach you? How do people reach you about the financially intelligent physician, practice management, and so forth?
Yeah, they can go to my website. It's davidnorrismdmba.com. And they can click on the connect with me or contact me link. And they can shoot me an email at david@davidnorrismdmba.com. And be more than happy to get in touch with them, help them out.
Dr. Norris, thank you so much for your time today. Just a pleasure visiting with you. I'm excited about what you're doing, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much, Scott. It's been a pleasure.